Craig Folk, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Pat and Cook, we're hanging out in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Time now for Coach Tom Hodges.
Kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, son of a gun, that's better than you. Woo!
Greg Poe, the twin son from different mamas. You've crippled more men than polio or arthritis. You're hotter than a Rolex in a pawn shop, and you've had more rejections than the Harvard Law School. How are we doing this morning, Timmy?
Hey, well, let's get right with the lead. Ric Flair, 73 years old. He has announced his final match. After 11 years, his final match, July 31st at the fairgrounds, part of the...
No. Not the fairgrounds. The Flair Grounds.
The Flair Grounds.
Hey, Tom, shut my mouth. Tom, you guys got to go.
Tom, you and I got to be in the building for that, no?
I don't think there's any way we can.
I got to be there, yeah. So,
absolutely. The Nature Boy.
Tom,
it'll be fun.
It'll be great. Tom, you, Greg and I were talking about Jimmy Butler. I've always viewed him as a high-level all-star, but he's kind of morphing into that superstar status, isn't he? He had 41 last night, and I wasn't crazy about the way it ended for him in Minnesota. But, man, I mean, he's a guy, he's probably the one NBA star nobody talks about, but he has been unbelievable for the majority of these playoffs.
Yeah, 41 last night.
That's obviously what I said. Yeah. Steve Martin.
I know.
Also,
yeah, I totally agree with you, John. You know, he's always Jimmy Butler's kind of always been viewed, at least in my estimation, as the best of the second class superstars. Mm-hmm. Never really that top tier, quote unquote shoe guy. But ever since that Philadelphia series has turned, and you saw him play with such a chip on his shoulder. They chose Tobias Harris over me, is kind of the narrative that Jimmy Butler took on. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, he is really turned on. And, last night he was, nothing short of spectacular in a really, really good game that just broke open in the third quarter and him leading the way.
Tom, explain for our listeners, you know, probably, Butler's probably the most underrated player, but Spoelstra's got to be the most underrated coach. I mean, I understand he won titles with LeBron and Bosch and Wade, but since those guys left, he still kept this team highly competitive, went to the finals a couple of years ago. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. From a coaching standpoint, why is Eric Spoelstra so successful as an NBA head coach?
Well, I think we all got a really good glimpse into that last night. You know, the halftime coming out of halftime when the Celtics had really controlled a lot of the first half and had a nice lead, felt safe and secure in that lead. What the Heat did in the third and fourth quarter was no strategic adjustment. It was really the Heat becoming, and you hear this a lot in their post-game interviews, the key phrase for them is airspace. How much airspace can we take away from you? And that's an old Pat Riley term, which obviously Eric Spoelstra tutored under. What I think makes Eric Spoelstra so good and makes their culture so tight is they just do what they do and do it really, really well. They don't do anything out of the norm. They're very consistent. So the big adjustment that they made in the third quarter was, and you could see it, they just got back to their defensive principles, and they made life miserable for the Boston Celtics running offense. Every pass, every dribble, every shot was contested to a point where it was almost like, wow, this is another level of defense when you have Victor Oladipo swiping the ball away from Jason Tatum on the bounce at half court. Those little things like that are what make Eric Spoelstra and the Heat, their culture, and it really starts defensively, what makes them such a tight unit. They're not flashy, but what they lack in flash, they certainly make up for substance, solidarity, and consistency in what they bring every single night.
Coach Tom Hodges, whether that's how you can follow him on Twitter tonight, Golden State, Dallas. Is Golden State the playing the best right now of the teams remaining?
Well, I don't know that it's not Dallas, Greg. who would have ever thought?
Yeah, how did that game get out? How did that game seven get out of hand the other day? I mean, I kept looking at the score. I was at work, Tom, and I was like, "Is that a typo? Is that you know?"
Jason Kidd outcoached Monty Williams.
He certainly did. Like, what? You know, how do you break that game down before we look ahead? What happened to the Suns on Sunday night?
Well, I'm exactly with you guys. I sat there and watched it live and couldn't believe what I was watching, quite honestly. I went back and watched it. I kind of slipped back into my old coaching seat, went back and watched it, and I still can't believe that that was the effort and that was the game seven, the closeout game in that series for Phoenix at home. Just unbelievable. I think it boils down to, you know, Chris Paul was so on and off for the Suns. His good was really good. His bad was non-existent. And on that day, Chris Paul was nowhere to be found. I think if Monty Williams had to do it over, playing Chris Paul 31 minutes in that game probably would be cut in half, if not more. Certainly, some defensive adjustments possibly on Luka to maybe slow him a little bit. But, you know, you look at the original question was who's playing the best right now. I tell you what, guys, if Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie do what they did to the Suns and can continue that pace, I mean, Dinwiddie goes for 30, Brunson goes for 24, 25, these Mavericks are going to be a really tough out because Luka's going to do what Luka's going to do. I'm really excited to see that matchup. Who does Steve Kerr put on Luka? Most likely Draymond. It's going to be an interesting series. I think that I'll say this, the four best teams that are playing the best are remaining. I do believe that. And this Western Conference series is going to have star power galore with the Warriors and the Mavericks. You're going to see a lot of defensive adjustments within the game. The game within the game is going to be just as exciting as the game itself.
Does Chris Paul get not a pass, but Monty Williams, do you say, man, I can't pull it. He's the star. I mean, he's you're thinking, watching that, they got to pull him, man. I mean, it was so obvious, and you've heard the critiques coming afterward. Does he get a? Was there some deference to him because who he is?
There's no other way to really rationalize the minutes at that point.
Yeah,
because that's what it had to been. But I guarantee you, in his reflective chair, wherever that may be in Phoenix, Monty Williams is thinking, I might have gone and backed the veteran a little too much right there, but it got to a point where it was hard to watch. I mean, for there to be a 30-point game at halftime for the Phoenix Suns at home in Game 7 to only score 10 points in the second quarter, it was tough sledding. But I'm anxious to see if Dallas can carry that on. I don't think anybody's playing any better than Luka Doncic right now for Dallas. He is playing on another planet and playing with a real chip on his shoulder after the Chris Paul comments post-game game two, which kind of slided Luka a little bit. And so I felt like that might have been the pivot point in that series when really kind of tugged on Superman's cape, so to speak.
We're talking with Coach Tom Hodges, and I wanted to ask you about Luka, you know, because fairly or unfairly, we judge NBA players by what they do in the playoffs and can they lead their teams to championships. I mean, the performance that he had, like you said, he was a little bit red-assed going in that game seven. Has he elevated now to, you know, one of the elite of the elite NBA players now? I mean, regardless of where this conference finals goes, I mean, for what he did in that game seven, I think he's kind of elevated himself. And the guy's only, what, like 22, 23 years old? It's scary. He's not even really in great shape. You know what I mean? The future for this guy is the sky's the limit for the future of this guy. I mean, you know, a lot of people are saying he's kind of carrying his team the way Jordan carried those teams before, like, you know, Pippen and Horace Grant and those guys got there.
No doubt. No doubt about it, John. If I had a number one pick right now, it would be very hard to pass on Luka Doncic. In his fourth season, he is just checks all the boxes. He gets to all the spots. When he wants to get a shot off, he gets a shot off. He plays with a confidence that is next level. He can go inside. He's got the footwork of Hakeem Olajuwon inside. He's got the shooting touch of Larry Bird outside. He is a mismatch nightmare for anybody. And you could see it's going to be more. I think the real strategy with Luka is making him defend. The more you can make him defend, possibly the more you can slow him down. Because if he gets to take the defensive possessions off and you don't involve him in middle pick and rolls, you're going to have a really tough time slowing him down on the offensive end.
I tell you who's not slowing down his mouth is Patrick Beverley. and of course, all over Chris Paul. What do you call him? A cone?
Yeah, cone.
Yeah, and just can't guard nobody. Beverly's getting some time. Of course, ESPN's loving it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Is there history between those two? Why, like, I know Pat Bev is kind of that guy. You know what I mean? But is there some kind of history between these two that maybe I don't know about?
Well, I think a lot of it, and this is just me outside looking in, guys, but I think a lot of it kind of springs from some of the comments that Chris Paul has made almost arrogantly when the Suns were rolling of just coming almost as a self-righteous ambassador for basketball. Mm-hmm. And you light that fire and then suddenly stumble from that perch. Guys like Patrick Beverley are going to pounce all over you, and certainly you got a full off season to deal with those critics and critiques. And he didn't give a lot to bounce back off of that Game 7 performance.
Orlando Magic win the NBA draft lottery. Who in your mind is the should be the top overall pick? Do you have one?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You just look at this NBA playoffs, and you look at the people and the guys that are having the most success, and this draft really doesn't have those type of players in them. The 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", you know, multiple facet, multi-tool guys. If I was taking the number one pick, I'd take Jabari Smith, the 6'10" freshman out of Auburn. Mm-hmm. I think he's a multi-tool guy that can play most likely the 3 and the 4, even in today's NBA, playing the 5, I mean, you look at what we saw last night with the Celtics and the Heat. Bam Adebayo is playing the 5 for the Heat, and he's 6'7". So I think Jabari Smith is most likely the number one pick. Paolo Banchero out of Duke is a candidate, but he's more of a 4 and 4 alone, stretch 4, possible 5. Jaden Ivey out of Purdue is probably the most like what we're seeing with Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum, Ja Morant type player, electric guard. So it'll be interesting. This isn't a great draft. There's a lot of talent in this draft, but this isn't, you know, go pick your franchise player draft in my best guess.
Yeah, all of them freshmen, sophomores, too. Yeah. You don't see – remember maybe 15, 20 years ago, you'd go through the mock drafts, and they would be from Portugal and Spain and France. Yeah. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah, the Euros have not invaded the NBA like they have in years past.
Yeah, most likely what we're looking at is probably the least populous international contingent in the draft that we've seen. Best guess is there's one or two that hit the board in the first round, if not the second round. This is a very domesticated draft that we have for the first time in a long time, and it's interesting just because we're seeing such positionless basketball.
Right.
This draft is actually heavy on bigger guys. You know, you've got a Chet Holmgren out of Gonzaga, 7 foot one.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on him, Coach? Pounds. I want to ask you about him. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, it's really interesting because he has all the skill in the world, but can that frame at 7'1", possibly pushing 7'2", only 195 pounds, can he handle the physicality of the NBA? Can his body handle 82 games? Historically, size gets overdrafted in the NBA. So it'll be interesting to see where he falls. It could be a real big enigma in this draft. Certainly skill-wise, all the tools are there, and it's not like everybody doesn't know that he's got to at some point beef up a little bit, and they haven't tried that. So it'll be interesting to see how his skill sets and his body type translate to the league.
Oh, he can handle, he can shoot, he can defend the rim. I mean,
yeah, but here's the thing though, Greg and Coach. You know, a lot of people, the popular thing now is to say that Gonzaga all of a sudden is a Fugazi program. Anybody that comes out of there can't hang in the NBA. Either of you buy into that?
No, that's knucklehead talk. Well, I got something more important to talk about, okay? I want to say, by the way, this past Saturday, Possibility Place, the annual fundraiser, big bowling tournament. Team Goggin, the Hodges family, finished third overall and got a trophy.
Wow.
And Craig Ladd's team won it again. But what was your high record? Because I'm doing this against the backdrop of what Zach and JB bowl, what, 137, 136? Yeah. What'd you bowl, Tom?
I can't remember, Greg. I was blinded by my wife. She powered us to the bronze. it was a just humbling effort on Coach Hillary Maxwell Hodges' behalf. I was just proud to be on her team.
Well, and Izzy and Cooper too. They had a blast.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. So they got a trophy.
That's great. So, congrats, Coach.
That trophy, all of a sudden, all of my championship rings and the nets and the plaques and everything just got brushed to the side. Might even be in the garbage can right now, guys. The possibility third place went up on the mantle immediately.
Box those other things up, right? Just put them in the garage.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. They may or may not be on the garbage sale pile right now. So it's very humbling to be involved in such a really cool fundraiser. Those guys, Sonia and everybody at Possibility Place, does an amazing job. Yeah. Thank you for allowing us to be a little small part of that. And that was always a fun afternoon.
In third place, the bronze up on the stand. So anyway, Tom, this Ric Flair thing, I think I want to tag along with you guys, okay?
Yeah, just come with.
Yep.
Let me tell you something, Tommy Hodges, you are the second most recognizable athlete in the world today. Second only to Muhammad Ali, daddy.
John Burton, I've spent more money on spilt liquor and bars from one side of this world to another than Greg Pogue spent on beef and shrimp at the harbor. Diamonds are forever, and so is the Nature Boy.
Woo! Woo! Hey, have a good vacation, Tom. Thanks for
Tom.
Booting us up a day here.
Peace.
All right.